Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
It's been one of those days. Here's our assignment from yesterday. Self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear about this issue? Write down the self-hating messages. Note, never record self-hate messages. Example, you're so unfit, you're probably going to have a heart attack. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, the double mute.
The good citizen approach.
Yes.
Right there.
So, with goodness, what I've been looking at is, self-hating messages are usually always come down to, it's your fault. Why did you do that? Why weren't you paying attention? And yet what I've been looking at with around it is that conditioning seems to just want me to be, you know, either kind of sticking my head in the sand, just ignoring everything, or going on the other side of fitness of like participating too much, you know, like ignoring signs from life or from my body about what's actually compassionate for all.
Yeah. So too little or too much.
Yeah. And
either and can what lead to self-hatred, which is the point.
Yeah. And that, you know, that when I am, like, it seems like conditioning is most threatened by me just choosing to say, okay, I'm going to participate in this way. I'm going to go for a run or do something physical, right? And it either wants me to, like, say, okay, well, I'm just going to do this full bore, you know, and ignore all the signs that are going on, or to go on the other end, which is to, I've got, you know, this physical issue going on, so I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
And what it doesn't want me to do is say, okay, well, I'm going to start this run, and I'm going to see, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to run, you know, because I can get into that place of, like, well, I'm going to run 5 miles today. And then I run 5 miles no matter what is going on with my body.
Yeah. Your head is going to run 5 miles today. Right? And the poor body is just going to suffer the consequences. Yeah. Which is what's going on all the time, right? The head, ego, is making all of these decisions, and the body is really, unless we're paying close attention, it's just being victimized by ideas floating around in conditioned mind.
Yeah. And it seems like that part of what the push by conditioning is like, so if I'm going to just go out and just do something, you know, that that if I'm on that run, that it's not okay to be in a place of like, well, let's actually pay, you know, use the goal here is actually, well, I want to go on a run, but to actually have my focus on, let's pay attention as we're on this run.
Yeah.
And if I'm paying attention, I can't be in that conversation.
That's right.
You know?
Yes.
And that seems mostly what conditioning is fighting against.
Yes. So I love that, Bob. So I'm going to go out for a mindful, attentive run. It could just feel ego kind of right, just starting to contort, right? Because that's not it. That is not how this is supposed to go. But it's the only way that's going to ever work for the human being, because that'll get you out there. So mindful attentive might be you know, you start up walking and then you jog a little and then you build up. And as the body feels ready and feels good, and then, and you're watching everything that's happening with the body, and now you're running and yeah. And it's an awareness activity along with,
yeah,
it's fitness through awareness, right? Or awareness of fitness, or however that would go.
Yeah, and if I do it in that way, the other bonus is that it's very hard for conditioning to be successful coming in later and saying, blaming me for how it went. You know, so
yes.
If something is, if I've hurt something along the way, well, if I wasn't paying attention, it's very easy to get caught up in, well, why did you do that? You
yes.
know, even though conditioning
yes.
led me to do it. But I'm believing
yes.
that. But if I,
that's
but if
right.
I am running along and it's like, oh, I'm feeling this tightness here. I'm going to actually change how I'm participating. And
yes.
then when conditioning, and then if it's something turning later on, it's like, okay, well, I saw that coming on and we took care of it.
That's exactly right. And if that didn't happen, of course, the next time, you know, it didn't go quite that way and something happened and that voice says, well, why didn't you pay attention to that? The response is, well, why didn't you say something? Right? Voice in my head.
Right.
If you were so on top of it, why didn't you say something? This is on you.
Yeah.
Not me. I wasn't aware. I wasn't paying attention.
Right.
That's what I was doing.
Right.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yep.
All right. Well,
alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Better all the way around, huh?
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. It's so true, right, Cherry, as we're doing this process, how we discover the building blocks of the process of ego, because it's always a duality, which has nothing to do with the present. And the self-hate focuses the attention on itself, right? And so you can't be present. And so that notion of being present is the commitment all the time. And in the present, I'll have the information related to the content that I need to see anything more about. It is not how it's framed. And so to have that realization that, okay, running 5 miles is what I want to aspire to, but today I'm going to run and see how far I can run. And if I run more or run less, it isn't based on listening to a conversation in my head that's telling me whether or not I should run more or run less and destroy the body or not challenge the body or whatever it is.
Ignore the body.
The mindful part of the run is not listening to a conversation. So I know whether I can or choose or want to run 5 miles or not.
Yeah. Well, you know, we often talk about body and mind are one, right? And that's such a perfect example of it. If body and mind are in this together, then supporting one another to the best health that is possible, that's a full being participation effort effort seems like the wrong word to end that sentence, but you know what I mean.
I do. And the thing that's dropping in, right, I mean, there is a way in which when we say that the body and mind are one, people say, well, then what is conditioned mind? And we're pointing to a very specific process when we say conditioned mind, because the intelligence, the what we're saying in body and mind are one is that conscious awareness is a distributed intelligence that has the ability to speak to us from many places, right? From another person, from inside, from our breath is an indication of whether or not I need to run 5 miles. There's communication all the time from that intelligence that's distributed that in some way is a similar, we call the mind, right? We call it whole mind, but it's a different faculty than that narrow, limited, self-hating conversation that arrives, that is not intelligence.
Right.
But it's an interpretation of it.
Yes. Yes. That. Whose function is not that. Right? Yeah. So I want to be in control. I want to be in charge. we've been talking about it on the retreat, or I've been looking at it anyway, as kind of like a very spoiled three-year-old. You know, mm-hmm. I want to do this. I'm going to do it. You have to do what I say you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes we play those games with little kids, right? But this is a nasty version of you mm-hmm. have to do everything that I tell you to do.
Mm-hmm. Or else.
Yeah. Or else, yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Boston.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. So with fitness, mm-hmm. I've heard an interesting self-hate kind of message, which is something along the lines of watching my decision-making process around when I'm deciding what to do for fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something like, well, there's no point in doing that if you don't look better after.
Whoa.
Right?
Uh-huh. Well, there's a perspective, huh? Wow. Chris, I just got to say, I love it when it's so blatant. We got nothing subtle going on here, right? It's like, I don't care about you at all.
Right.
You just need to look good. That's it. That's the sum total of my interest in you. Just look good.
Mm.
If it's not going to result in that, there's no sense in it. So you feel better. So you're healthier. So you'll live longer. I don't care.
Mm.
Better,
mm-hmm.
don't do it.
You know, it really is a help when conditioning is essentially wearing a bunch. It's basically wearing clanging bells and walking around the room
yes.
when it says something
yes.
like that. It's so
yes.
It's so direct and clear.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah.
And Chris, it's direct and clear and sounds like clanging bells because you're there paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you weren't, if you were distracted and not present, then you would probably be among the folks just living that message out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that
yeah.
can be something that is can never be underlined enough. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
It just that experience of literally being in the decision making process and then going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And again, this is something we were talking about on the retreat, but because it happens in our head, right? It's really hard to catch on to the fact that we're in a decision-making process, right? Because these are just thoughts. These are just
mm-hmm.
thoughts. But then the way you just did that, it's as if you are standing outside of that conversation
mm-hmm.
and watching it go on and realize what's being said. And then it's a whoa, 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 whoa. Stop it. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Time out.
Mm-hmm.
We need to check in here.
Yes. And, you know, the interesting thing, this kind of reminded me of the first caller. So before I came to this particular practice, I had an experience of doing fitness. And this is kind of on the other end of the spectrum, but the drill instructor kind of, the sergeant who's dropping out and doesn't want to do it, but feeling like being told in my head that I can't do it or that I'm not capable or should give up. And I remember specifically having an experience of experiencing the mental activity as simply that, being able to continue on and kind of deepen my potential or explore my potential, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So to continue doing a push-up, even though I'm being told in my head, I hate this, give up.
Mm-hmm.
And experiencing that as kind of a bratty mental phenomena happening in my head.
Uh-huh. By somebody who is not doing push-ups.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is what's so interesting about that, right? The voice isn't doing the push-ups. So basically what the voice is saying is, I hate it that you're doing push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can see it like, what business actually is it of yours if I want to do push-ups? But that's the relationship that we're in with ego, such that when it says something like that, we're meant to think, that's me. Yeah, I do. I need to quit. And you were there enough to be able to say, okay, there's a bratty voice in my head saying, I hate this. I'm doing push-ups.
Right. And it seems like the key is this: the two places that I pointed to, the one hand, well, only do it if you're going to look better. And then I do it, and then it goes to, oh, I don't want to do this. And just stepping back from all of that and going, okay, this is a practice moment for me. Let me just sink into the sensations of this push-up.
Yes. Well, yes, and this is not about anything other than caring for a precious human incarnation. Right? I'm the steward of a human incarnation. And so I want to do a good job. And part of that good job is being physically fit, being strong and capable and healthy, right? So that's my job, to make sure that that happens. And so what's required for that? You know, I have to buy good food and fix good food and eat good food and get enough sleep and exercise and do all of the things that a good steward does to take care of a charge. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. And enjoy the retreat.
Oh, thank you. I can say I am. I hope we are. Yeah. Great. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Chris. That conversation brings in the quote from Wei Wu Wei for me, Sherry, which is, almost everybody's suffering from mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That so much of our practice is to get that the pronoun is not pointing to me. The pronoun is pointing to a process. That the confusion that the pronoun, a personal pronoun, indicates a person is what we really have to catch on to. That when something says I, it doesn't mean me. That I can represent a process, right? And that we were looking at that in group this morning, how much it's important to recognize when ego is giving us information about itself. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go on retreat. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to have you see me. But it's the confusion of when I and you get mixed up that we basically take on the identity or that process when we're not it. So it's so useful to train ourselves to see when the I is the process and not the human being.
Yeah.
The process of ego and not the human being.
Yeah, it's so subtle, isn't it?
It is
but
so subtle.
Just the way you're saying that is so helpful, that if every I and me, just I and me, came through with streamers on them or, you know, lit up in fuchsia lights or something, that would be really helpful. Every time I hear the word I, who is that? What is that? What are we talking about there? Because in that, we can get a sense that what this is the awareness that can see that and can ask that question.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, and here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hello. Isata here.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. What are you seeing?
I am like 5 days behind behind with the exercise because I had a very, very hard week at work. But no beatings, and I decided to put myself in the queue anyway because I don't want to enter in the loop. Like, I'm behind, so I won't put myself in the queue.
No, because you're right here, right now.
Exactly. Ah, and by the way, a super quick update about last month, the sharing food thing. I have been inviting so many much people to have dinner with my cooking, and it's been fantastic and great, and I'm so thankful.
Oh, good. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Fun. It has become a default, because the last week it was, every time I talk to people about where do we meet, what do we do, my reply should be, well, let's meet at my place, I'll cook you something. And I kept doing it, you know? And it's been so fantastic.
All we have to do is take something on, right? That's the first step of getting through it. And then
also because
wonderful things.
Yeah, also because it's a default. Like, I have this thing that I always do it. I don't think, should I do it or not? The rule is, every time the question comes up, where do we meet? I propose this, you know? And then, of course, people sometimes say yes and sometimes don't, no? But it takes the decision out. It's fantastic.
Yes. Very good. All right. And how are you applying this same kind of attitude to fitness?
I haven't yet, because I am 5 days beyond where we were describing the voices, you know? Like, so it's the same. It's in theme with today, that is what is self-hate saying. And I have the same problem as some of the other callers, that I have real problems in being present and understanding when to push on, when I'm really tired, when is the brain saying that I should continue, who says I'm tired, who says I should continue. I'm still not clear. I'm still not trained to notice that, you know.
You're still exploring that.
Yeah.
So, it's time to go to the gym or go out for whatever, and you hear, I don't feel, I'm too tired. There's too much going on. I'm too busy, whatever it is. And if you're exploring, well, who says that?
Exactly. For example, last night I had to go to a dance class, and I had a migraine. And I still don't understand if dancing increases my migraines, or it makes them go away. I don't have it clear. And I was so anxious about whether I should go or not that it even increased my migraine to debate about it. And I still don't have a clear idea.
And
about
did
that.
You go, Isota? Did
no,
you go
I
to the
didn't.
Class? You didn't?
No, I went to bed and slept 10 hours and woke up new and fresh as a morning rose. So maybe in that case it was not conditioning, because who knows? I'm so confused.
Well, that's it. There's the experimenting, right? So the next time something happens, you have a migraine and there's this, then you'll look to see what's so in the moment. And maybe what's so in the moment is, well, I think I'll just go and see if dancing hurts it or helps it. And then you'll go.
Yes.
You'll explore it, you'll experiment, and you'll see. I mean, maybe you're there for 5 minutes and it hurts so bad you go home. Or maybe you get so into it you forget all about it and you leave and there's no migraine. Who knows? But having that, let's find out, attitude is the one that that assists us, right? Well, I don't know. Let's find out. Let's see.
Yes, and it comes, drops in when I hear this, that also after the experiment, I should record to remember, you know? Like, so for example, let's suppose I went and the migraine went away. I could record and say, "Come, hey, by the way, if you're doubting about going to dance next time, just I want to tell you that the migraine went away this time."
This time, right? We don't know what might happen.
We
next
don't know,
time,
yeah.
This time, it went away.
But I don't want to make a recording saying I slept 10 hours and the migraine went away, because it sounds more like an invitation to sleep 10 hours. I would feel bad about it. Oh, my God, there is a... I will make some... I'm very confused about that. I will.
Well, here's the thing, Isota. Whatever you do, don't feel bad.
Yes, that's the only rule. Exactly. Problem solved. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Deep Gasha, it's so beautiful to talk to you. I wish I was there.
Me too. Me too. Gasho to you. Next time, huh?
Next time. Yes, 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 yes.
All right. All right.
Goodbye.
Go happy.
Go bye-bye. Happy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Asuta. It's my favorite training in practice, right, Sherry? It's A-B testing. And it brings that place that Asuta points to, which is the decision gets taken out of it, which is where most of the stress and the suffering lie, right? Consulting conditioned mind as to whether or not to do something, which doesn't give us any information. If we set up a structure that says, I'm going to go to dance class, and for the next week I'm going to go to not go to dance class and sleep, then we really are able to receive information because we're looking to the experience and not to conditioning to give us information.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
and true. really, what it's doing is not even developing a theory or a body of knowledge that says, if I stood on my second foot while I was drinking tea and then went to dance class, I don't get a migraine. It's
right.
Just simply that I get trained to look at the moment to give me the answer.
Yeah.
It's not about going to dance class and getting a migraine or not. It's just simply that in the A-B testing process, I train myself to look at the moment in which I will receive the clarity that I need for the next moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And all I'm getting is the clarity for this moment. Right?
That's it.
That's what I'm seeing right now. That's what I'm seeing.
And
this is what I'm seeing right now.
And what gets attrited in the process is the reliance on continuity as a way of defining my experience.
Mm. Wow. That's big.
Mm. There's a sameness. Yeah. Is what I consult in order to know what to do, as opposed to the variability that is always informing itself in the moment.
Yeah, because if I look to the story, a la our retreat, if I look to the story, I'm always going to get the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
If I look to the moment, everything is always new.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I can squeeze in another caller, Sherry, so here we go.
All right.
Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oops.
Hi, can you hear me? This is Nancy.
Oh. Nancy, yes, there you are.
From Bellingham, Washington. Yes.
Hello, hello.
Hello. I was looking at how I got caught into this, not understanding that this was maybe conditioning. I started a training program at the gym before Christmas, and just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I thought, I've learned everything I need to learn. I've got all the programs that she's giving. I do this twice a month. And I probably don't need her anymore. And all this money's being spent, kind of wasted. And so there was this big story about that. And then I kind of caught on to it. I even got as far as, calling and saying, well, what would it take for me to get out of this contract and that kind of thing. And then I realized that conditioning is, it's like I'm hitting a plateau and it's time to quit. And what I realize is I need that trainer just like I need the coaches, just like I need, the phone calls just to hold me accountable. And and this is so apparent now that I look on it, that conditioning is doing its same number that it always does on me.
But it sounds so reasonable, doesn't it?
Oh, it's
so
good.
Just sensible and responsible. Why spend all that money when you've learned everything you need to learn? It's just really time to let this go And yeah, and then you think, yeah, sure, what? And what am
right.
I going to do then? Yeah. Oh, isn't that
really
good to see?
Oh, it is great. And what is great is that every time I have this little training class, I learn something new. I get more, you know, I get excited about doing the exercises again. And, you know, it's just showing up for myself, basically.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's just, yeah, I'm just so glad I caught on to that before I quit, because I know what would happen if I quit the training program.
Oh,
you know, it's going to slide. Everything will slide.
Yeah, everything will slide, and it'll be your fault. Because you
right.
made a stupid decision. Because, see, I mean, why did you do that? Why
yes.
did you do that? You could have known what was going to happen. Oh, can't you just hear it?
I can
yeah.
hear it, and I can also hear the other side. You know, it's like, oh, so you're staying in there. Do you really notice a big difference in your body? Do you really want to, you know, can you give that money to charity, da-da-da-da-da. So
mm-hmm.
I have to stay. I have to
right.
stay present.
Right there. It's a razor's
right
edge, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. Which is great. It's good for balance, right?
It is.
Practicing
it is.
Our balance right there, because if I don't pay attention, whoop, over onto the that side, whoop, over onto the other side, and here I go. Just right in the present. Right in the present.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very good. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for Friday, and therefore the beginning of the weekend. There's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment: what message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? For example, the underlying message in "you are so unfit, you're probably going to have a heart attack" is, you're not worth all the effort it would require for you to be fit and healthy.
Mm.
It takes a little digging to get to the core message.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. So we'd encourage
and
people to dig.
Digging. Yep.
Yes.
Let's get to digging.
All
so,
right.
Thank
Sherry,
you,
just
Ashwini.
Before we sign off, I did want to say that we've been announcing that the Don't Suffer, Communicate is ready for pre-order, but it's actually here. So the books are available now.
It's ready for order. All right. What do people do if they want one? What should they do?
It's definitely available through Keep It Simple Books, and I believe it's your local bookstore if you don't want to do the ordering on Keep It Simple Books. But it is available for shipping.
And it's keepitsimple.org. Is that correct?
You know, give me a minute and I'll tell you. Yep.
Keepitsimple.org. Okay. Wonderful. Thank
well,
you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Care.
Bye-bye.